right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just a short little podcast night. Be done before 10:10. I see the bets have already been posted tonight. None of them are in agreement with me, but I'm thinking 10:09. 10:09 is the magic number tonight. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Irish One already has me at 10:45. Joe Heathen, 10:37. Volvo 960, 10:39. Neon Widow is on. Lisa Kinzer, 11960 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Buckeye 1968 is on. Why Not Me is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. The Picket Fence is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Tammy L. Margreter is on. Mike, I already got you. Michelle Tall is on. Dave Souders is on. Diana 91263 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Patriotic Standard 1776 is on. A Wethy is on. Is that a Swethy?
That's Andrew.
Okay. Gotcha. Honey Badger? What do you think? WI Honey Badger or is it Wisconsin Honey Badger? I'm thinking Wisconsin Honey Badger. Love you. See you all the time. Brother or sister, I'm not sure which one, but Regina Loves Art is on. Swethy is on. R Major 79 is on. Don't worry, Swethy and A Wethy, I won't make any comments about Brent's electric vehicle tonight. Did you drive that here?
No, it's the trucks out there.
The truck's out there. Okay, the truck's out there. Okay, so no comments for me tonight. Yeah. You know, I'm always a good boy. Jeannie Malfizi is on. R Major 79 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Luann 5 is on. Jana Jones is on. R Major 79 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Judy Anita is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Mark 1069 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Just a couple things off of the pregame. It's just truly amazing. We have that J.D. Vance interview with Martha Raddatz. And Martha Raddatz, again, you're supposed to be a journalist, so you should be chronicling information. You should be chronicling news. You should be talking about what's going on in the news. And she's actually making apologies for the Harris-Biden administration when she's saying to J.D. Vance, there's only a couple apartment complexes that were taken over by Tren de Agua, the Venezuelan prison gang. I mean, imagine being a quote-unquote journalist and you're actually making an argument. Well, first of all, you shouldn't be making any arguments, but you're making an argument to the future vice president of the United States that it was just a few apartment complexes. In other words, hundreds and hundreds of people involved. Just a few apartment complexes taken over by a Venezuelan prison gang. Another thing is you had Waltz talking about solving the border issue without denigrating anyone. You know what? I don't really care about denigrating anybody who illegally crosses the southern border. That shouldn't be our number one priority, is worrying about denigrating people who are committing crimes. 30,000 of which were rapists, convicted rapists and murderers. 425,000 of them are convicted criminals. I'm not really overly concerned about denigrating them, which, by the way, completely and totally exonerates and validates everything that Donald Trump said about allowing criminals to, the worst of these nations are crossing the borders, where you got between 400,000 and 600,000 convicted criminals, 30,000 of which are rapists and murderers. And the CBP union, Customs and Border Patrol, just endorsed Donald J. Trump. And then, of course, just the last thing, want to wish everybody a happy Columbus Day. Columbus Day, celebrating Italian Americans. There we go. Italian Americans. Yes, there you go. For all the Italians that are watching. And not just that, but celebrating, as Aaron was illustrating when we were watching the video, the person who actually started this end of Western civilization, stopping mass genocide of children and child sacrifices and numerous other things ushered in by the people that actually discovered North America, South America, Central America, stopped a lot of child sacrifices and ritual deaths of children and women and numerous and men, but focusing on kids and women, especially heinous. So anyways, we celebrate today Columbus Day. And I just love how Kamala Harris, who lives off of the fruits of those discoveries, why doesn't she just move away? She allegedly is African American. So why doesn't she move there? And her other lineage would be Indian. So she has two choices. She can move to India, or she can move to Africa. If it's so bad, where all these, the adventurers, the people who discovered America, if it's so horrible, why are you here? If you feel such guilt, I just wonder why all these people that feel guilt that America is a conquered nation, you know, the Indians were conquered, and they feel such guilt, why don't they surrender their own homes to the indigenous peoples? If I felt that much guilt, I would either move away or I would surrender my property to the indigenous people. It's just like I'm always wondering why white Hollywood doesn't surrender all their jobs. Why is it that straight Hollywood doesn't surrender all their jobs? Why do white women in Hollywood not surrender all their jobs to women of color? Why do all white men in Hollywood not surrender all their jobs to men of color? Why do all straight men and women of all colors surrender their jobs to homosexuals and transgenders in Hollywood? If you feel such guilt about it, I'm wondering, well, you know what? I feel guilt about my sin. You know what I do? Is I lump it onto Jesus and have Jesus take it away through the blood of Jesus. I have him take it away because I do feel guilt about my sin. So if they actually feel guilt about it, or is it not guilt at all, nor is it even giving a crap at all and just using it for political expediency? Would that be all that it is? For self-aggrandizement, for self-profit, for self-glory, for self-advancement? Is that what it's all about? You really have no convictions, no rudder whatsoever, but you do have ambition, and that's all that you have, selfish ambition, which leads straight to hell, by the way. All right, so let's hop off. Let's hop off the pregame. I did this title tonight's show right here, getting to it at the beginning. Kamala the prosecutor? Let's delve deep into her career. I think I've got Waltz next. Somewhere down the line. I think I'll get to it. Short show tonight. Short show. 10:10. Aaron, you heard it. Right, Mark, I'm right here. Mark it. Right, I'm putting them down right here. 10:10. 10:10. Done. It's done. It's etched in stone. 10:10. Aaron doesn't believe me.
I will do 50 push-ups if you end by 10:10.
50 push-ups?
50. Now, I can't do them back-to-back like that, but I will.
But before you leave the building, yes, 10, yeah. 50 will be done.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Wow. I'll ask everybody, you know what, and people will ask, did he do them or not? He will. He'll do them.
He's
a man of his word.
Yep.
He's a man of his word. All right, so Kamala, she's always touting that she is basically the new sheriff in town. She is the top cop. The prosecutor of prosecutors, you know, for some reason, I can't think of any of the TV shows. Matlock, and, well, you know, he's a defense attorney. I can't think of any of the prosecutor shows, whatever. But L.A. Law, she considers herself to be this prosecutor of prosecutors, right? That's who she considers herself to be. And that's what she says that she is. That's the only problem. You can kind of consider in your mind and think more highly of yourself than you ought, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. But what are you really? Are you really this prosecutor of prosecutors, this tough-minded, going after the criminals, prosecutor, tough on the criminals, prosecutor? Let's look into this now, because that's what she's claiming to be. She's always claiming to be, you know, Trump talks about closing the border. I have prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. Let's look into this tonight. Mario Nafal video, Kamala, we need to grant citizenship to illegal immigrants. So she says she's kind of let it fade now, but about a month ago, she let it leak through Axios, through some of her political acolytes, that she wanted to build a wall. And she says that, you know, Donald Trump's only in it for himself and that this is, you know, a monument to himself. I'm the only one who's actually prosecuted these people. Well, is that really where she stands? Play for me, Brent.
So I was attorney general of a border state. I went after the transnational gangs, the drug cartels, and human traffickers. I prosecuted them in case after case, and I won. So I know what I'm talking about. We know our immigration system is broken, and we know what it takes to fix it. Comprehensive reform that includes security and an earned pathway to citizenship.
The border, to have more resources in the states and cities that are supporting migrants, and I believe we need to create a pathway to citizenship. All of that is a part of what we need to do for comprehensive immigration reform. Kamala Harris will work with Congress and get that done.
I thought she was tough on illegal migration. So you want to eliminate illegal migration as a crime, while simultaneously, Aaron got it for me, being the Perry Mason prosecutor of illegals? You want to make it no longer illegal to be an illegal, and then somehow you're the tough prosecutor against illegal migrants? I mean, again, you're like, Tom, what you just said makes absolutely no sense, because everything she says is a contradiction. I'm trying to think of the verbiage that somebody else used today. If I can remember who it was, I think it's actually in this. I mean, I don't know if it's in the next video, but I think it's actually Harmeet Dillon. She may actually say it and I'll be able to steal it from her again. She's literally like, what's that? What's the woman in the Wolverine movies that can turn into anything she wants to turn into? That woman. She's just basically whatever room she's in, she can turn into whatever she touches. So that's who Kamala Harris is. She will say anything in any room to appease or persuade the people in the room, even if she has absolutely no intention of ever doing the things that she says she's going to do or ever being the person that she says she's going to be or is to those people. She has absolutely no intention. See, you and I, we can't live like that. We're not a chameleon. We don't just adapt to our environment and become our environment. You and I, you either, if you're watching the show, 854 people that are watching that I can see right now. There's also local Christian television network right now from Fort Myers to Sarasota. But you and I are chameleons. We couldn't live like that. We have to be men and women of character. We have to be men and women of conviction that actually believe things, that we actually believe this is right and this is wrong. For her, just understand, that doesn't exist. That's how she can sleep like a baby at night, while allowing people on death row to stay on death row when there's exculpatory evidence to release them, which will all be covered in this. All right, so this is the Tucker Carlson video. It's gone, of course, way viral with Harmeet Dillon, a conservative attorney, and long 30 years of actual law practice experience, Harmeet Dillon, interviewing with Tucker Carlson. Let's chronicle her actual record. Remember, now I want you to keep these lenses on. She has said numerous times that she has tried hundreds of cases herself. She has said that she has tried and convicted. Remember, she just said, I've prosecuted these transnational organizations in case after case, and I won. Now, here's the problem. She doesn't say that my office did. She said, I did. I tried these cases. So let's take her career from the very beginning to where it is now, and let's add up all these cases, shall we? All right, play for me, Brent.
And got her first job after that as a prosecutor in Alameda County. So in Alameda County, she eventually specialized in child sex crimes, an important job. And according to research that was done by some of her opposition when she ran for district attorney in 2003, she tried something like 8 cases that they can prove there during her 8 years or so as a prosecutor in Alameda County.
So I lack perspective on this. Is that a lot? A little?
It's very little.
Very little.
For somebody who's claimed today in all of her public appearances to have been a lifelong law enforcement officer and prosecutor, and when she ran for district attorney, claimed to have tried hundreds of cases, she actually, according to what I've been able to dig up and what her opposition dug up on her in 2003, which she never refuted, 2 cases in San Francisco during the 2 years that she worked at the DA's office before quitting and then planning her run against her boss, 8 in the Alameda County District Attorney's office. So she basically held those 2 jobs as a prosecutor. I mentioned to you these no-show jobs as well. She had the lowest attendance record of any of the attendees of these 2 commissions either. So on top of having a job where she got paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do very little, she didn't even show up and do that. But there's one more fact about this. You know, in the city attorney's office, they had to keep timesheets. Now, you know a lot of lawyers. You've gotten bills from lawyers.
Yes, I have.
we bill by the hour, and we're supposed to record our time in tenths of an hour. Okay. So in the city attorney's office, you recorded your time that way. And so someone in one of these various campaigns she's been in over the years did a Public Records Act request for these hours. And her predecessor in her job at the city attorney's office was retired or semi-retired judge, Catherine Feinstein, the daughter of Dianne Feinstein, the former United States senator. So Feinstein had the job and then Kamala Harris had the job. So if you compare their hours, you see that Kamala Harris, I think, worked one day over 8 hours in all the 3 years that she worked there. Dianne Feinstein's daughter regularly worked long, normal lawyer
hours. She worked one day over 8 hours in how long?
3 years. Yeah.
And she's just lazy.
Yeah. And there were a number of days where she had block 8 hours, phone calls, research something, 8 hours. So she didn't work full days in that job. That's what any supervisor, I'm a supervisor of about 25 lawyers. If I saw timesheets like that, I would call that person and put them on probation because they clearly aren't working a full day's worth of work. They're block billing. They're putting down time. They're doing a lot of admin time, days and days of admin time, meaning I didn't work that day. I read the newspaper. Yeah. I did continuing legal education. I did some, you know, background research. She did not work those full days. So that's what any supervising lawyer, being honest, would tell you. So that's pretty striking because as it is, you're, you know, only expected to work, you know, sort of 9 to 5, unlike those of us who are, you know, working in the private sector, working much harder to make a living and keep our jobs.
Yeah.
There's no such accountability in the jobs that she's held. And so when she ran for DA, she claimed, I've tried hundreds and hundreds of serious felony cases. And she got busted by the tenants union saying, actually, you've tried 10 cases. And then she had to sort of over the years own that maybe she was affiliated with hundreds of cases. She didn't actually try them. And look, as you get more senior as a lawyer, you don't try every case. I get it. But in those early years of your career, if you're billing yourself as a top cop and a top prosecutor, normally people do. But that is not Kamala Harris.
All right, let's go back to front. So again, you know, once you end up being the DA, or which, of course, she wins every time because she had Willie Brown's backing the entire time. When she was running for these things, in order to win anything in this district in San Francisco, Northern California, had to have Willie Brown as an ally. And she had him, of course, way more than an ally because they were carrying on an adulterous affair for over 2 years. But anyway, so, you know, when you become the Attorney General of the state of California, or even the DA for a large county like Alameda County, San Francisco District, whatever it may be, you're going to have, obviously, hundreds of cases that you don't personally try, but your employees try for you. So if that's what she meant, that's one thing, but she never says that. You'll actually hear me, because I was a supervisor for most of my career. I was a deputy for 10, supervisor for 15 at the sheriff's office. So you'll hear me say that I was affiliated with a lot of arrests. So that she should be saying that I was part of, or that's not what she, part of prosecutions. Or part of, you know, felony trials, whatever it may be, part of convictions, whatever it is. She never does that. She only uses the word I. She doesn't say my office. She doesn't say my employees. She doesn't say my all-star attorneys. Nothing. She gives credit to absolutely nobody but herself. So, but that only covers now. I'm not exonerating her in any way, shape, or form. That only covers her after she became DA. It doesn't even cover her then because she never uses any other word but I, so it never covers her at all. I'm just saying it covers her a little bit more. There's a little bit more plausible deniability, which is all that Democrats care for, is their bold-faced lies having some measure of accountability, of some measure of plausible deniability. And the higher measure they can get, the better, to cover for their abject, bold-faced lies. But she continued. She not only did that once she became, you know, a big-time office holder. She did that when she was a line prosecutor running for DA, when she was running for DA. So all she had been at that point was a line prosecutor. Understand what a line prosecutor is. You got two cops in the room tonight. We've submitted lots of affidavits. Two, whatever you call them here in the state of Florida. We call them state's attorney. Many other call them district attorney, whatever it may be. A line prosecutor, somebody making probably 100 grand a year, and which is what basically is what Alvin Bragg is a line prosecutor. That's why it was so strange when Matthew Colangelo, number three in the DOJ, decides to go down and take a line prosecutor job in NYC to prosecute Donald Trump, and all that'll be overturned anyway, just like his civil case is already being overturned as we speak. But anyway, he'll get his $500 million back. You can't wait to watch Letitia James eat that giant pile of feces. I mean, she needs to eat it with a spoon, spoonful by spoonful. But anyway, when she was running for DA, all she was a line prosecutor in Alameda County. That's when she was a line prosecutor. She was getting theft cases, robbery cases, petty theft cases. Depends on what area she was in. She was in the child sex crimes division. Or child, you know, whether sex crimes had to be included, but child crimes, you know, crimes committed against children section. In those 8 years, now remember, when she was running for DA, this is not when she was a state an attorney general. It's not even when she was the DA, where she could tacitly sort of claim to be involved in hundreds of cases, which she never has said she was involved in. She said she did herself. In those 8 years prior to running from DA, so she was just it's akin to being a street cop. You're not a supervisor, you're a street cop. You're a deputy sheriff, you're a police officer. That's all she was. In those 8 years in Alameda County crimes against children section, she prosecuted herself 8 cases in 8 years. What on earth was this woman doing for 8 years? 8 cases in 8 years? And remember, this is in the area of San Francisco. This is high crime, baby. Here in Sarasota County, the prosecutors are inundated with cases. You could never get away with prosecuting 8 cases in 8 years? What on earth were you doing? You only managed to prosecute one case a year? I mean, what on earth was she doing? My opinion is she had this carve out job from Willie Brown, downtown Willie Brown, and they just didn't give her any cases. Or she's just incredibly incompetent. So then she moves to San Francisco for 2 more years, and her average continues. She prosecuted 2 cases in 2 years in San Francisco until she quit. How do you manage in 10 years to prosecute 10 cases? And in all of her years in San Francisco, which were 2 to 3 years, we'll just say 3 for ease of conversation, she worked one day over 8 hours. How is that possible? Because of political privilege, but really political non-relative nepotism. And when she ran for DA after all these years, she claimed, remember, her total cases is 10. 10 cases in 10 years, averaging prosecuting. You need to understand, a lot of you don't get it, and I'm not saying that in a condescending way, it's just you haven't done the job. Cops are filling out affidavits that go to the state's attorneys every day by the hundreds. By the hundreds in these areas. Okay? How in the world? And they're assistant DAs. These line prosecutors are getting 10 cases a day. And she prosecuted 10 cases in 10 years? You're like, all these conspiracy. No, it's not conspiracy. Understand something. There's people that are part of the game. And none of us, the 940 people that are watching, everybody watching on Christian Television Network right now, we're not part of the game. They don't have to work for a living. She had one day where she worked over 8 hours. And then when she finally did, after those 10 years of being a line prosecutor, a low-tier prosecutor, who normally would have prosecuted hundreds of cases by that point, she had prosecuted 10. And then when she ran for DA, she claimed to have prosecuted hundreds, and she maintained that lie up until really present day. So let's go to the next segment. This is Autism Capital, right, Brent? Is that the right one?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, Autism Capital video. Must watch. Here's Harmeet Dhillon. Here's her Willie Brown jobs. Play for me.
On the, you know, public employment, she's never had a job in the private sector.
Ever?
Ever. And so
Kamala Harris has been living on taxpayer money
her entire career. That's correct. She's never had a private sector job. Now, let me pause for a second. While she was doing some of these jobs, she actually was doing multiple jobs on paper, because Willie Brown, one of the positions that you get access to when you're the speaker and then you pretty much continue to have a lot of access to over the years is the ability to appoint people to patronage jobs. And so before he, you know, kind of left the speaker's office, he was able to appoint her to one of two commissions. So she was on a taxpayer-funded commission called the Unemployment Appeals Board. And so you hear appeals of denials of unemployment benefits. That's a cushy part-time job, which pays almost $100,000 salary. You show up a couple of days a month. And then he also got her appointed to a second sort of part-time job, very part-time, a couple of days a month again, called something called like the Medical Assistance Commission, which was dealing with Medi-Cal contracts and appeals over that. And so over the years that she was taking a salary as first an Alameda County prosecutor and then a San Francisco County prosecutor, she earned an additional over $400,000 over a five-year period from these low-show slash no-show jobs. He also got her a BMW as a gift. And so...
Wait, Willie Brown gave Kamala Harris a BMW?
He gave her a BMW, and he got her these extra hundreds of thousands of dollars of jobs. And to give you some perspective, the salary of a prosecutor around that time was about $100,000. So she basically got double or triple what her colleagues were getting. So imagine the morale in the office when your person sitting next to you is also dating the mayor and also is making hundreds of thousands of dollars more than you because...
And getting a free BMW.
And getting a free BMW. So she was marked out as privileged in her 20s and 30s very early on. And that allowed her to leap over the career hurdles that those of us who work for a living in the private sector have to actually earn,
yeah.
Right? And I think it's... And, you know, she's had to face these criticisms over time, and she's become very glib and good at deflecting
yes.
the criticism. But it's I don't think it's disputable that the extra income and, more importantly, the patronage that she enjoyed in her 20s and early 30s made her the person who's, you know, the vice president of the United States today and seeking the top job. Not merit, but influence peddling and using her female wiles.
And just all.
So her everything about Kamala Harris that she says about herself is a bull-faced lie. And now we're seeing, and I want to give Aaron credit because Aaron said it, and he doesn't even know what I'm going to tell him right now. He said it, and I really didn't believe it. And I'm not saying that anything's confirmed yet. But now there's up to four allegations of Tampon Tim in pseudo-grooming sexual relationships with male students, including on trips to China. Yeah. And these, by the way, these are not people, these are not online people that have not been identified. These are four people who have come in and given statements.
Wow.
Check out the older millennial. If I don't get to it tonight, go to the older millennial on Twitter. And I'm going to do all that I can to get to it, though. I think Timpon's up next. But I'm just telling you, everything these people project out there for everybody to see, the portrait that they carry about themselves, you know, I'm the Perry Mason of prosecutors, man. I'm the top cop, man. I'm tough on crime. Exactly the opposite. She is prosecuted. To this day, we can only confirm that Kamala Harris has prosecuted 10 cases total in her life. That's it. And in the last part there, so she gets, and Harmony Dillon said at that time, the starting salary for prosecutors in that area was $100,000. That's pretty high for at that time, by the way. But yet, even with that high salary, she goes to Willie Brown. So Willie Brown gets her the prosecutor job, and she's an advocate for women's rights, and she was wheels up to get the job. But yet she's some sort of advocate for women, but she slept her way into her first job with a man 30 years older than her who is married. But yet somehow she's an advocate for women. She is allegedly an example for women to follow. She's an example for modern women who should be able to get these jobs without sleeping with people, right? She's the example of that. But she had to sleep with a man 30 years older than her, the mayor of San Francisco and major political player. And gets her, so she gets the $100,000 a year job and another $100,000 a year on the unemployment appeals board, where she had to show up 2 days a month. And remember the prior video, she wasn't even showing up. She not only did she never work more than 8 hours a day ever in her entire 10-year career as a line prosecutor, she never showed up for these board jobs. 2 days a month, you can't show up for $100,000 a year. You're making close to $10,000 a month to show up 2 days a month, and you can't even show up. And I bet you it was 3 or 4 hours each. She didn't show up. And she was also on the Medical Assistance Commission. And over 5 years, she made $400,000 off those commissions. And Willie Brown bought her a BMW. That's who she really is. not the example of what a woman can be. Not the example of a woman who made it to the top on her efforts and on her ambition and on her merit. Someone like Harmeet Dhillon. Harmeet Dhillon has become who she is just because she's a great attorney. Kamala Harris has become what she is through getting on her back. And I'm trying to be nice about it, but that's what she is. That's who she is. She is not only a political prostitute, she's actually a politically expedient prostitute. So here's another piece, Tucker Carlson Network video. Kamala Harris actually began her career. So not only did she begin her career by sleeping her way into every position that she had, but she also began her career by breaking the actual law. Play for me, Brent.
She actually began her career in politics by breaking the law. So in San Francisco, if you agreed to cap your raising and spending at $211,000 in 2003, you got a statement published in the voter guide saying that you had voluntarily agreed to confine yourself to that spending cap. You're agreeing not to engage in corruption by raising money from all kinds of unknown sources. So she agreed to that. She filed a piece of paper. She signed it under penalty of perjury saying, I, Kamala Harris, agree to this voluntary spending limit. At the end of the election, she had spent over $600,000. She got the San Francisco Ethics Commission. By the way, many of those people on the Ethics Commission owed their positions to Willie Brown. The Ethics Commission simply lifted the cap, which is not in the statute. So instead of disqualifying her, which would have been the normal punishment, and prosecuting her, she simply got away with it.
So that's the deal. When you sign up, it's a benefit. It's a political benefit. It speaks to your credibility. It speaks to your morality that you sign this agreement when you run for office in the San Francisco area that you will not take over. I just lost my in-ears, guys. There we are. You will not take over a certain amount of money. Well, in that amount of money, I can't remember what it just said, but was it $212,000? I think it was $212,000. You're not allowed to take over $212,000. You're like, how do you run a campaign on that? Well, that's the virtue of it. You come across super virtuous because if you're running on simply only taking $212,000, then you are not in the pockets of anybody, right? Any lobbying group, any group that's looking to gain political advantage, you can't because you're only taking $212,000. By the end of the campaign, she had signed an agreement. And by the way, under penalty of law, she actually committed election fraud because she said that she wasn't going to take over $212,000. Publicly testified that she wouldn't, signed an affidavit stating that she wouldn't, and then took over $600,000. And she wasn't prosecuted. Donald Trump, I bring this up a couple times. I actually talked about this from the pulpit on Sunday. And those of you that are on YouTube right now, we just got banned off of YouTube. They won't give us a reason. So, I mean, screw YouTube. Screw Tube. Can't stand those people. Bunch of communist people at YouTube saying that they're defenders of democracy. They're gonna ban speech in the name of democracy. Unbelievable. So anyway, it's just like Donald Trump gives $130,000 in hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, which I'm not convinced he even knew that he did. And the person sleeping with him at the time is most likely the person who facilitated the deal, which is Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's attorney, who was probably sleeping with Stormy Daniels at the time. According to her own attorney, Michael Avenatti, that was the case. But anyway, so he gives $130,000 of his own money to Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet and then gets prosecuted because he should have attributed that money to his campaign finances. And if he would have attributed it to campaign finances, he would have been He would have been prosecuted for attributing that money to his campaign finances. He would have been, think about it that way. I mean, again, it's just absolutely insane. There's no way to win. If he would have attributed that money to campaign finances, he would have been prosecuted for it. Since he attributed it to his personal finances, they prosecuted him for not attributing it to his campaign finances. But Kamala Harris, we're talking about almost a $388,000 violation. And it was under criminal law. It was a violation of California criminal statutes. Nothing happens to her at all. Why? Because of Willie Brown. This is who she really actually is. So look at this next video, scary election denier video. This is, it's a short audio video that makes no sense, but it's audio. And then she's actually running against a guy by the name of Fazio, Bill Fazio. She was running against him for the DA position. So at this point, remember, this was those 10 years. She had only been a line prosecutor, and she was claiming throughout this campaign, I have prosecuted hundreds of cases. Well, he called her out on it. Play for me, Brent.
I'm glad you corrected me. Mr. Harris, how many cases have you tried? Can you tell us how many serious felonies you have tried? Can you tell us one
thing for sure? I've tried about 50 cases, Mr. Fazio, and it's about leadership.
Ms. Harris, why does your information, which is still published, say that you tried hundreds of serious felonies? I think that's misleading. I think that's disingenuous. I think that shows that you are incapable of leadership and you're not to be trusted. You continue to put out information which says you have tried hundreds of serious felonies.
Mr. Fazio, leadership
can
is
you
about
answer my question?
Working with different communities as a career prosecutor. I've done that, which is why I, not you, have every law enforcement organization's.
Why don't you answer the question? He didn't ask you about your law enforcement endorsements. And this is one of the things I actually hated about law enforcement at times, where everybody feels like I need to work with the community. No, you're there to enforce the laws. Don't be a jerk. Don't be cocky or arrogant or anything else. You're there to enforce the laws. We're not there to be daddy or mommy or hand out stuffed animals or any of that stuff. We're there to enforce the law. So she answered Bill Fazio is asking, which by the way, is a proven longtime prosecutor who at that time himself had tried hundreds and hundreds of cases. And notice that she had put out all of her campaign materials because everything the woman puts out is a bold-faced pathological lie. She had put out on all her campaign materials that she had tried hundreds of cases. Then when asked in the debate, how many cases have you actually tried? She starts out, well, I've been a career prosecutor. I've been endorsed and I work with the community. No. We don't care about you working with the community. We don't care about you being endorsed by law enforcement agencies. We don't care about your community efforts and all those different things. We don't care about your heart or anything else. Your question was, how many cases have you actually prosecuted? And she finally has to puke out the truth, which wasn't the truth. She said 50 cases. There's no verification of 50 cases. There's no verification of 30 cases. There's no verification of 20 cases. There's no verification of 15, 14, 13, 12. There's only verification that she's prosecuted 10 cases total in her life herself. That's it. So that was right there. That was not when she became AG where she can claim all the cases under AG. This is not when she became DA where she can claim all the cases under the district attorney. This is when she was a line prosecutor, 10 cases. 10 cases. That's it. And she was claiming hundreds, and then a debate dropped it down to 50. Typical Democrat. The big lie doesn't work, so then you go to the smaller lie. She never got even close to it. She only prosecuted one-fifth of 50 cases. One-fifth. Not half, not a third, one-fifth. All right, Heather, 007 video. Kamala was the first person to prosecute a journalist. So she doesn't prosecute criminals at all. 10 prosecutions and 10 years, but here she will. If you're a journalist, and if you're an honest journalist, and you're going to expose the very fact that Planned Parenthood was selling human body parts, baby body parts on the open market, which, by the way, is a felonious crime nationwide. Why did they get away with it then? Why is nobody being prosecuted? Because Kamala Harris was the DA in charge of that case. So the only person that got prosecuted was the person exposing the crimes, not the criminals. Play for me, Brent.
Most of these tapings, if arguably all of these tapings in California, were made in a public place. So Kamala Harris ignored the First Amendment and custom made the first prosecution of a journalist in California history. So David DeLeiden was indicted for undercover journalism 7 years ago. And his case has been pending now for 7 years in San Francisco Superior Court. Judge after judge after judge has not been willing to send a journalist to prison, not been willing to bring it to a head. And so people just keep changing assignments, and David remains on the hook, paying all this money to defend himself from the charge of doing journalism. And
what penalties does
he faces years in prison.
So these are the videos that we've actually shown on this podcast. And by the way, let me just clarify the law. They are a single approver state. That's not the terminology, but you have to, only one person has to know that there's a recording going on. So maybe in some states, both people being recorded have to know, but in the state of California, only one person has to have, who's doing the recording, only one person has to have knowledge that they're being recorded. And what I mean by that is, of course, you're talking about undercover journalism or anything. So if you're the one doing the recording, you count as the one. That's the law in the state of California. But regardless of that, it also has to be in a public place. So obviously you can't have a telephoto lens recording people in their homes, but you were the one that had knowledge of it. So it covers the law. No, obviously it has to be in a public place. So if we're here at Foundation Church and I go up to, and I go start talking to Aaron and I record the conversation. Okay. To be honest with you, I never dealt with this realm of law enforcement. So I don't know if Florida, you have to have, both people have to be in knowledge of it. Last I heard, both people had to be in knowledge of it in the state of Florida, but we're in California. Aaron and I are in California at a convention center, and there's hundreds of people around, which is where these Planned Parenthood recordings were made, in a very public convention center. Watch the videos. In the state of California, it is not illegal to make that recording as long as one of the people that is being recorded has knowledge of the recording. So he went around and he posed as somebody who buys or coordinates deals for human tissue. You are allowed to donate human tissue for research. You are not allowed to sell it for research. But Planned Parenthood was, and probably still is, selling human body parts on the open market to research facilities. And they were all caught on videotape doing so. It is some of the most heinous stuff you could ever possibly watch. You ever want to see a reprobate mind exemplified? Watch these videos. You pull them up. Just type in David DeLeiden. Planned Parenthood caught selling human body parts. They're all, go to Rumble and watch them. You might have probably banned off of YouTube because YouTube's communist. And they ban speech in the name of democracy. Because their democracy is actually communism. Yeah, switch to Rumble. Rumble, 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 Rumble. Don't never go back to YouTube for this podcast. I know, listen, there's times where I go over to YouTube because it's the only place that you can only find something on YouTube. I'm not someone who's huge into boycotts. I'm into mitigation. Use them as very little as you can. Hurt them financially. But anyway, so David DeLeiden was recording doctors, Planned Parenthood officials. He was recording them, orchestrating deals to buy and sell human body parts from aborted fetuses, aborted babies. That's all he did. And now he's been sitting there for 7 years and nobody's prosecuting this case. It's being prosecuted. He's being nickeled and dimed to death, death by a thousand cuts. But he's still sitting there because no judge wants to be on the record for prosecuting somebody for doing nothing wrong, for prosecuting somebody in direct contradiction to his First Amendment rights. There's no way to prosecute him. He didn't violate the law at all, but yet he's still under a 7-year prosecution. She doesn't prosecute the people who are committing multiple, I'm talking about multiple felonies, orchestrating the illegal sale, felonious sale of human body parts. None of them are prosecuted. Just the person recording them doing so. That's Kamala Harris. That's who she is. And by the way, it's now been confirmed that she has called herself Kamala Harris on numerous occasions. Carmi Dillon knows Kamala Harris and has seen her refer to herself as Kamala Harris. So everybody knows. She's just, it's all a lie. Everything that we see from most Republicans and all Democrats are bold-faced lies. Everything that we see from the federal government, what they say they're about, what they say they're not about, is bold-faced lies. Same with the FBI, the ATF, all of them. Bold-faced, globalist, bourgeois, leftist, elitist, communists. That's who these people are. All right, Heather, one more. Heather, 007 video. A lab in which evidence was tested. I have to set this one up because this part's left out of the video. A forensics lab where drugs were tested, in which evidence was tested for thousands of cases, was shown to be compromised under Kamala Harris's jurisdiction. Shown to be compromised. The person that was running the lab, who was doing the drug testing, what happens is, again, if you're a cop and you arrest somebody anywhere from cannabis all the way up to heroin, oxycodone, whatever it is, what do? You don't do what the FBI does with evidence, which is to blow it up. FBI puts an MA-80 on things and blows it up. No, that's not what you do in real law enforcement. You actually put it in a bag and you seal it. You actually burn, seal it. I don't know what you call that when you actually burn it and you seal it. On each side, it's sealed, shut. So the only person can open up is the prosecutor. But you actually put your drugs in a sealed bag with a sticker on it. And it goes into the storage facility and eventually to a lab to be tested. And we already do our own lab, our own little region tests in the field, whatever. But anyway, it goes there and somebody tests it. Well, they found out that the person doing the test at the forensics lab was taking the drugs home and smoking them himself. Kamala Harris was told this. Was told, you know what? The only problem is with all these cases, the guy that's actually testing the drugs is smoking them himself. She was told that. And what did she do? She did the same thing that she did for the victims in Appalachia from Hurricane Helene. Nothing. Nothing at all. Play for me.
High pressure. And this has been her pattern typically. She's only willing to back down, not because she's wrong, but because she's embarrassed or confronted publicly. And even then, she's had such a entire career of faking her way to the top that there's just no shame there. And, you know, she's willing to continue to lie until she gets
caught. How'd she get to be Attorney General of the state of California after failing as a prosecutor for San Francisco County?
Well, again, it's the machine politics of California. You mentioned Gavin Newsom. You know, at the same time, there was consideration of whether Kamala Harris might run for governor. And basically in the upper echelons of Democrat politics in California, these things are all worked out in advance. You know, multiple people might want the job, and I can guarantee you that's happening right now in the case of Nancy Pelosi, who's, you know, reaching the end of her.
So more from Heather 007. Kamala sat on this information that could have exonerated thousands, because this guy was smoking their dope. For 3 months, she did nothing, and she would have continued to do nothing. Think about this. People were locked up in prison for years. If this was you and I, and we found out. Remember, she wasn't the cop on the street with a region test or any of those things. You're the prosecutor. You're the DA for San Francisco. And you find out that all of these cases, 1,400 of them, are compromised. And you've sent people to prison for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And it's likely or possible that they're innocent. Would you sit on it for 3 months and do absolutely nothing? Would you be able to sleep if you knew you had put somebody in prison for years who was completely innocent? Would you be able to live with yourself? Biden can. Clinton can. Both Clintons. Kamala Harris can. Nancy Pelosi can. They're trying to do it to Donald Trump right now. They know he's completely innocent. Chuck Schumer can. These people are demonic, soulless people. They'll sleep like babies. Obama can. No problem at all. I've said it a million times. ROE violations in Iraq and Afghanistan, where somebody blew up the wrong mosque, and those guys are sitting in Leavenworth for 18 years, still sitting there right now, as Barack and Mike spoon beard on beard every night. See, they don't care. I mean, that's who these people are. People think, well, you know what? People will feel guilty over me if they actually falsely prosecute. No. We'll never think of you again. It would haunt me like Beetlejuice if I did that to somebody. Not them. You have to have a soul to be haunted like that. You have to have a soul to be bothered. They're not bothered at all. Kamala sat on this information that could have exonerated thousands of people for 3 months until a judge torched her office and had 1,400 cases dismissed. So she never actually did anything about it. A judge did. She didn't do one thing. And by the way, this is all under what's called Brady rules. When you have extreme exculpatory evidence that has been illuminated, that has been brought forward, you have to go and reopen the case. You have to go to the defense attorney under the Brady rules and acknowledge, you know what? We had a little problem with our case. The person who tested the cocaine that your defendant was tried and found guilty of possessing or selling smoked it himself. You have to go to that attorney for that defendant and reveal that information under Brady laws. She didn't do it. Why is she not in prison? Why is she not in prison right now? She violated campaign laws to get the DA job. Once she gets the DA job, she violates Brady rules. Why is she not in federal prison? Why? Why? Because she's a Democrat. That's it. Do you want to talk about immunity, immune from all prosecution if you're a Democrat. So the judge actually stepped in and then dismissed all these cases. They didn't have to dismiss them all. Some of those people were guilty, even though the forensic lab tech smoked the dope himself. But because she did nothing about it, he just dismissed all the cases. She was also notorious for civil rights violations. Civil rights violations, like, you know, there was a federal law that came out about prison overcrowding. And there was requirements handed down to the largest state, to every state, but also to the largest state, California, that they had to release low-tier criminals, criminals for, you know, marijuana possession, whatever. She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it until she was court-ordered by a federal court to do it. And she sent back her refute to this was, you know what, we can't release them because it's wildfire season. Oh, they're going to get burned up? No, they use them for free labor during wildfire season. So the people, the prisoners that were ordered by basically the DOJ and the Supreme Court to be released, she refused to release them because she was using them for slave labor and eventually slave labor. So eventually the DOJ had to step in under the threat of punitive action against Kamala Harris to make her do it. And the same thing happened with the death row inmate that she refused to give a hearing to when there was exculpatory, extreme Brady rule, exculpatory evidence that had come out since his conviction. So in other words, a video, I'm just making this up, but I'm just saying, it was this to this level, that a video came out showing somebody else committed the murder. That's how exculpatory it was. That's how extreme it was. She wouldn't retry the case. Can you imagine that, Aaron?
No.
That you're a prosecutor. You put it, and by the way, this was at a time when there was still a death row in California. So he's on death row. She would rather him die by lethal injection than reopen the case and embarrass herself. See, I just switched accents right there to be like Kamala Harris. She would rather him die of lethal injection or gas chamber, whatever it was or is in California at the time, than embarrass herself. Or whatever her motivation. Or maybe it's just because she never worked over 8 hours a day in her life and has never had a real job, including never having a job at McDonald's, that she just didn't want to do the work. She didn't want to do the work to exonerate the man. She would rather die than get off her fat butt. And boy, do I miss cussing right now. That's what she'd rather do. That's who these people are. That's what this election's about. Is somebody like Donald Trump versus a monster like Kamala Harris? And if you're a leftist, tell me the virtue of anything that I just said. And by the way, refute anything that I just said, because you can't. And I guess these people, again, don't realize that when you claim that you've tried, prosecuted hundreds of cases, Aaron, what is there that might reveal that you didn't? Records.
Yep.
Just like McDonald's has. Just like the Naval Academy has for Joe Biden, who says he was appointed the Naval Academy. They have records, you stupid idiots. Just like when you claim that you had three scholarships, there's records there that you had one half of one scholarship. That you finished at the top of your class. You know what, Joe? Your class had like 84 people in it. Guess what there is of that class, Joe? Records. And you finished at 76th out of 84. That's not the top of your class, Joe. And you know what else there is when you say you finished with 3 degrees? There's records of degrees, Joe, and you finished with one. And then you say you misremembered. You don't misremember 1 degree to 3 degrees. Those are pathological, psychological, pathological lies. You don't misremember that, like Tim Walz is claiming right now. Let me show you this. This is funny, because right now, we're talking about the disingenuousness and bold-faced lies of Kamala Harris. Look at this one. The older millennial video. Have you all seen the most political, the most cringe political ad ever made? And then watch the explanation about it. Play it for me.
Have you seen the most cringe-inducing political ad ever made? Well, if you've seen the new Be a Man for Harris ad, I think you have. Let me show you a little snippet. Don't worry. I'm not going to make you watch the whole thing.
Man enough to enjoy a barrel-proof bourbon.
Neat. Man enough to cook my steak rare.
Man enough to deadlift 500 and braid the out of my daughter's hair.
You think I'm afraid to rebuild a carburetor? I eat carburetors for breakfast.
Yeah, I certainly don't doubt that you do. So this video would lead you to believe that Kamala Harris is able to get a diverse group of men in every aspect to support her, when really, they're just all woke actors. Like, really woke. For example, this dude, this is Mike Leffingwell. He lives in LA and works for an organization called the Upright Citizens Brigade. He's basically like a super woke improv group. He's a cartoon writer for Netflix and DreamWorks. So I don't know what the f*** he's doing on a ranch. The thing he's done that he's most proud of is an improv act called Two Dumb Lawyers. He also runs improv workshops on how to be honest about your white privilege. So yeah, that's this man. Oh, and this guy, who for some reason is sitting in the fifth grade glamour shot pose. Like, we should be seeing like a superimposed faded image of Justice's face here. At least that's how the pictures looked when my sisters did it. This is Waylon McQueen, who also works at the Upright Citizens Brigade. He is a failed comedian and actor who does improv about exclusively woke topics. And then we get to this guy. He's actually Lanre Ndewu, who does like trashy horror flicks. Weirdly enough, he also said he braids his daughter's hair, but he doesn't have any children. That's kind of weird. We also got this guy, supposed to be that older, grizzled, probably a member of the Hell's Angels. That's just actor Tony Ketchum, who the last movie he did was 2001, where in Ghost World, he played alcoholic customer. Oh, and let's not forget the big rancher and mechanic who eats carburetors for breakfast. Yeah, he's also an actor who lives in L.A. named Winston Carter, who's best known for his 4-minute role in Spaghetti Man. And I think that perfectly defines Democrats. See, they believe in diversity, but just in diversity of what you look like. See, because they made sure they got themselves a couple of white dudes, a Hispanic man, a black guy, and an old grizzled looking white dude. They didn't care that every single one of them lives in L.A., is woke as f*** and is failing in their careers. They'd have to be. I mean, who the f*** else would be willing to do this ad? But of all the things they said in this ad, there is one thing that I completely believe them on.
Hope she has the guts to look me right in the eye and accept my full-throated endorsement.
Because I have no doubt they know what it's like to be full-throated.
That's good stuff right there. So everything that you see from a Democrat is completely fraudulent. When does a Republican ever do that, an ad like that? I mean, they can't get men to vote for her. And if they are, there's some effeminate dude like Doug Emhoff, her husband, or Tim Walz, who's now has his own problems with allegedly touching other men, or correction, boys. We'll get to that in a second. So let's go to this next one for me. J.D. Vance tweet. Hi, I'm J.D. Vance. I wrote my own book, unlike Kamala Harris, who copied hers from Wikipedia. Copied it from Wikipedia. Chris Rufo article. At the beginning of Harris's political career, I also remember how she launched her law enforcement career, In the run-up to her campaign to serve as California's Attorney General, she and co-author Joan O-something Hamilton published a small volume entitled Smart on Crime, a Career Prosecutor's Plan. That at that time, 10 cases. 10 cases. A Career Prosecutor's Plan to Make Us Safer, the person who prosecuted 10 cases total. The book helped to establish her credibility on criminal justice issues. However, according to Stefan Weber, a famed Austrian plagiarism hunter who has taken down politicians in the German-speaking world, Harris's book contains more than a dozen vicious plagiarism fragments. Go to the next one for me. Brent lives with TikTok. Kamala didn't just simply plagiarize her book. She plagiarized it from Wikipedia of all places. Look at the bottom. Kamala Harris plagiarized at least a dozen sections of her criminal justice book. Smart on Crime, according to a new investigation. The current vice president even lifted material from Wikipedia. There it is, right there. That's wow. Who these people are. Fake. I'm a man. I eat carburetors, says Winston Carter, who's a gay actor in L.A. Everything that they say is a fraud. The book that she wrote as a career prosecutor, she was a career prosecutor who never prosecuted a case. She wrote a book lifting 12 sections from other books and Wikipedia. Lies. She writes her own book and puts a picture of herself with her maternal grandmother in the middle of the book, and that grandmother was dead 4 years before Kamala was born. So how is she taking a picture with her when Kamala's 20? Look at her book. She has her arm around a woman that she claims is her blood grandmother. But that Meryl or something, I can't remember her name.
Beryl.
Grandma Beryl. Only problem, she says, that's my grandma Beryl. My maternal grandmother has her arm around her. Only problem was, and in the picture, Kamala is 20 to 25 years of age. Grandma Beryl died when Kamala was -4. 4 years before Kamala Harris was conceived. That's who these people are. Bold-faced liars. I guess they just think, and if we actually had a media, Joe Biden's career would have been demolished years ago. So would Billy Clinton's. So would Kamala Harris. Some Republicans, too. But I mean, you look at various. If a Republican makes even a they're lies. They're absolute lies. But they lie about their resume. They say they did something they didn't do. Crucified. Just absolute, abject, bold-faced lies for generations by Kamala Harris. Nothing. By Obama. Nothing. Biden. Nothing. Imagine if we had a media. Imagine if we had a media. Man, it'd be a glorious day. All right, where the heck am I? All right, let's go to the next one. Insurrection Barbie video. Is that where we're at, Brent?
Yep.
All right, here we are. All the things Biden did to physically, they're talking about a lot of things about border, and they had his border security bill. Here's all the things Biden did to actually remove the border wall. Play it for me.
I just found out that there's still people out there that think the border crisis is Donald Trump's fault because he rejected a bill. But this is a wall made out of shipping containers in Arizona. This is the Biden administration suing Arizona to take that wall down. This is a buoy chain down the middle of the Rio Grande River in Texas to stop people from crossing the border. And this is the Biden administration suing Texas to get rid of it. This is razor wire fencing installed on the Texas border. And this is a Border Patrol agent cutting it down.
No.
And this is a ruling from the United States Supreme Court saying that it's okay for them to do so. Literally every attempt that's been made to shut the border has been blocked by the Biden administration.
And they claim all the time, we put together this border security bill. Why would you put together a border security bill with cuckboy James Lankford out of Oklahoma? Why would you do that? And while simultaneously taking down every border wall device, like the thing going across the river, every razor wire wall, every wall itself, no longer constructing the wall. Not only do they not do it, whenever somebody actually does put up any sort of wall obstruction, they sue to take it down. How are you for border security, as Kamala Harris, when you've sued, whether it's the CBP or whether it's state agencies, to take down their border obstructive devices or walls? How are you ever for a secure border when you sue to take down border walls? How is that? How are you for a secure border? Let me show you some more. I don't usually do this, but I had to do it today. I don't know why. I wanted to just show you because I'm always talking about idiotic leftist pundits on social media. So I just have to show you. I mean, all of you already know how it works. I just have to get this out. But I just stumbled upon this one today, and there's another one right after this. A couple I want to show you after this. I just want to show you how the left thinks. Put up the first one for me, Brett, Ben and Jerry's tweet. This 4th of July, this is from a while ago. It's high time, but since it's Indigenous Peoples Day today, Columbus Day, this 4th of July, it's high time. It's high time, says Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream makers that live in Vermont. Time we recognize that the U.S. exists on stolen Indigenous land and commit to returning it. Look at the bottom. Despite Ben and Jerry's supposed commitment to returning land they feel was stolen, they have yet to reach out to the tribe whose land their HQ is on and arrange a return of the land to them. So their own headquarters sits on Indigenous people's land while they cry out, it's high time. It's just like all the idiots crying, all these guns need to be confiscated. The automatic, semi-automatics, that's a Democratic Party statement, needs to be confiscated while they're surrounded by them. As long as it doesn't apply to them, they want all of these actions taken. Look at them. The United Nations. Look at this. Is their own graphic. It's founded on stolen Indigenous land. This 4th of July, let's commit to returning it. Ben and Jerry's has not arranged to return their own property that their headquarters sits on that belongs to Indians. That's how these people think. It's all just to gain some sort of false virtue, like their mask and the mask mandates being reinstituted in several counties right now in California. All right, go to the next one. Here's one of the biggest idiots on the planet, dwarf man Brian Krasenstein. Hey, everyone. He talks like this, too. I'm not exaggerating. Hey, everyone. Nothing to see here. Just Eric Trump participating in a boat parade. That's how he talks. That Nazi Trump supporters also participated in. Not a good look. So he's claiming that a boat full of Nazis, I mean, really, if you're going to be a bunch of Nazis, you're going to put on a black shirt like that with a Nazi flag in your boat and your 225 horsepower Mercury and drive. Now, could we not do the same thing to them? I mean, we could. We could simply go and infiltrate all of their rallies with people dressed up as Nazis, couldn't we? But Brian and Krasenstein knows that that's what happened here. He knows that's either the FBI, an NGO hired by the FBI, an NGO hired by the Harris-Waltz campaign to drive their boat into a Trump boat parade and act like they're not. He knows that. But he lacks so much human dignity. He has no integrity. He has absolutely zero virtue because he knows this was an orchestrated event. But since he lacks all of these things, he whores himself out to a narrative. He just bends over and whores himself out to a narrative because he has no dignity whatsoever. So let's look at what really happened to this boat. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Look at what actually happened to this boat by the Trump supporters in the boat parade. Play for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron, just rewind it right back to that spot, and you can just mute it just to where they hit him with all the water. Now, Krasenstein knows this video's out. He knows it. He would rather be a disingenuous whore than actually tell the truth. I mean, imagine making that decision. What do I want to be in life? Somebody who tells the truth, an advocate for the truth, or a disingenuous whore? Which one would I rather be? I think I'd rather be an advocate for the truth. That's what happened to him. That's what happened to him. And that's the exact boat. That's exactly how it was received by the Trump supporters. And little Brian, he knows it. All right, we're going to skip up. We're going to skip a couple things here. I didn't make it, guys. I said 10-10. I didn't make it. Aaron's happy. He doesn't have to do any push-ups.
Yes.
Now. All right, skip up to the lioness for me. Lioness video. There you go. This is a great summary of the allegations being made against Tim Walz. I told you I'd get to it, so I got to do it. Play for me.
A surprise just dropped, and it's pretty awkward for Democrats right now. If you haven't heard the news, I'm about to summarize the allegations being made against Tim Walz for rampant SA against minor students at the schools where he worked. And I say it's getting awkward because we just went through multiple years of believe every victim that accused Trump of literally everything under the sun with very little evidence to corroborate it. And these claims against Walz have not been corroborated yet in a major way, but at the end, you'll see why I think we're about to find out. And personally, I don't think it's looking good for Tim. Now, the story is being broken by DocNet YouTube on X, and this is entirely credit to his work, his ongoing work with child victims, and he's the one that's receiving these emails, he's the one that's publishing them. Go follow him on X. And it started on August 1st of this year when he received an email that said, "Hi, Doc. He was a teacher of mine at Alliance High School in Nebraska. This person said that because of Doc's work with child trafficked children, that's why he reached out to Doc. He says that Walz manipulated him, did unspeakable things to me. I can give you details that nobody else can, including later on specific details about tattoos and scars that Walz apparently has on his body in places that you would only know about if you had been intimate." But we'll get there in a minute, and I'm going to try to make this video at least Instagram friendly, although I'm not going to be posting it to TikTok. So I'm going to let you pause and read between the lines if you want to know all the details that this says. But this kid alleges, not a kid anymore, this is back in the 90s, but they allege they were 14 years old when they met Tim Walz, then describes what can only be described as grooming in a major way, including being invited to a Indigo Girls concert by his teacher, by his assistant coach. Allegedly, it was just this young boy and Tim Walz at the concert. And then major grooming ensues. Then the spice happens at the end. Overwhelmingly tired from the drinks, maybe, who knows. And then they drive home. And this whole email is like the spicy details about what apparently allegedly happened on the first outing with Tim Walz. I'll summarize it for you. You can screenshot and wait and look if you want, but basically, Tim Walz took him to a gay bar, allegedly, and then drove him home, allegedly, though he doesn't remember that part. And then he sort of comes to while receiving that from Tim, allegedly. And this was just the start of a long, I would continually meet Mr. Walz during 1995, spent a lot of time with him whenever I could, can't remember the exact dates. We probably had 10 to 12 sexual encounters. More details to come. The student makes allegations about why Tim Walz was actually fired from his job at that school. And Doc has corroborated in the official records that there's some fishy business about Tim Walz's voluntary leaving of the school, meaning there was like a DUI involved, and the school board voted unanimously 6-0 to kick Tim Walz out. And then just this morning, this alleged victim released a legal statement basically saying that they're gonna also go after this whole thing with the full force of the law. They're gonna go public. So far, they've just been leaking information to Doc on X. It's gonna blow up way bigger than that. Doc just posted this from the accuser this morning. They include that this is one of the students that accompanied Tim Walz and others on his trip to China. When Tim Walz received his DUI, it was after an evening spent with this accuser. This whole paragraph is kind of interesting in its implications, if true. And then here are the special details about Tim Walz's body that you would only know if you had been intimate. And so if these details are true, then yeah. That includes a raised scar on his chest, a Chinese symbol tattoo on his upper thigh, a small scar on his left arm that was more like a soft burn, Yeah, anyways, this is just getting started. It's all breaking day by day by day right now on X, which is where actual news is happening today. If you're not already there, highly recommend you go there because everything else is just reporting about what's happening there. I'm not even allowed to post this video in most places because censorship. So like my TikTok audience, not even gonna see this video. They're gonna have no idea. But that's the state of play at this point in the election. And to be honest, when I look at him, it kind of fits the bill. I am not that surprised if this is true.
First of all, it's quite the shame, isn't it, that he can't actually play that video anywhere. He didn't do anything. He even abbreviated the words. Instead of saying sexual assault, he said SA. I mean, and this is, again, we were wondering, why is he so freaking awkward and weird? Is it because he just doesn't like women? Okay. Again, these are all allegations, innocent until proven guilty. But allegedly, remember, he had to leave the school because of the DUI. And this is like Mr. Coach USA. Remember, he claimed to be the head coach. He wasn't head coach. They must have misremembered again, you know. But, I mean, who goes up to their wife and does the bro hug? Is that because she? That's what he is? And why couldn't she get pregnant? You're like, well, Tom, there are heterosexual. I know. I get it. I'm just saying. Totality of circumstances. I don't care. But that's the, in order to be convicted in civil court, totality of circumstances. Totality. There it is. Totality of circumstances. I mean, the totality here of circumstance. I mean, even Kamala is hetero, you know, because her and Willie. So that's a very hetero greeting right there between her and Dougie. Dougie, who likes to impregnate and beat up women. You know, impregnate the nanny and beat up on women, and now and is now an advocate for women's rights. See, I mean come on, it's weird.
I had to.
Okay, it's weird. Look at this. Who bro hugs their wife? Look what she even. She's like, you're an idiot. That's the look she has on her face. What are you doing, dude? We need to look like a heterosexual couple right now. And then he lies about how she got pregnant. He said it was from IVF treatments. She comes out 3 days later. It wasn't from IVF treatments. So, I mean, again, don't know if any of it's true yet. I really do. I always assume innocence until proven guilty. I really do. But when you look at Tim Pond and the way that he acts, it's highly suspicious. It really is. So we'll get more into it as more comes out. There's four people right now who are making allegations. I mean, look at this guy. Come on. What is this? Who does that as a man? Who does this? What is this? What is this? What's going on here? You're like, Tom, are you homophobic? No. If you want to call him, a gay guy would do this. That's who does that. A gay man does this right here. You know, what do they call them? Show hands? Whatever it is.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. Jazz hands. Jazz hands. You know.
Spear fingers.
Yeah. Spear fingers and jazz hands.
Spear
yeah.
fingers. Spear fingers.
Yeah.
Oh man. But anyway. All right, that's it. 10:27. I gotta call it. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate you. 1,054 people on right now. Really do appreciate each and every one of you guys. Seriously. Monthly supporters tonight. Snarl Barkley joined in. Joe Heathen joined in. Rumble Rants. Nitsua. I was corrected on Sunday morning. But Nitsua comes to church here. Nitsua. $99, $50. Thank you so much. Texas Billy, be praying over your brother, believing for all the things we prayed over on Sunday. Swifty Shooter, $96, $20. Thank you so much. The one and only Nude Monk, $20. Order in the Court, also a major player here at Foundation Church, $20. Thank you so much. Gianna Jones, $10. The one and only, missed you, Tammy, on the last. We were shocked you weren't there on the last show. Tammy L. Margreter, always in the Rumble Rant, $10. Thank you guys so much. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Post game is awesome. It's awesome. Two SNL skits you've got to see in the post game. This one won't tear you down very much. This is an uplifting post game. Really is a good one. Love you guys. I'll be in the chat during the post game. You want to talk directly to me, I'll be there. Love you guys. Appreciate you. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That new thing for you, that you need to receive it. Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you, not for you to emulate the poorness, that would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.